that can hear me, go to Genesis chapter 3. You know, the other day when I shared on, Genesis 3. The other day when I shared on the band, well, first of all, how in the world did this church grow? How in the world did this happen? I had to take a step back the other day and really just really look at what God has been doing. And I'm not going to do it. I'm so tempted to do that, but I'm not going to do it. Now I have to say it because it's weird. But we watched a video, the Look At It video, and it was hilarious. And some of you probably know that video, but she's all, you just got to look at it. So it's a joke, but that's as far. I'm not going to imitate him, though. But anyway, Genesis 3. I had to stop and I had to really look at the church and kind of take in what God has done. And it's pretty amazing. You know, when I look at your faces and I think of the story, what God is writing, it's pretty amazing. At the same time, my heart was saddened because there are faces that are not here. And I'm not talking about the faces that are not here because God's called them somewhere else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that came and tasted and touched the truth and then walked away from that. And I was just saddened by the reality that we are so selfish as people that we believe the lies of the enemy that then steals away the seed. Like the scriptures come to life when you see that, you know. But then I was rejoicing because when I look at those that have received and I get to experience life with you, it just pours back into me in a way that I couldn't do by myself. You know what I mean? Because I'm in the fellowship and I see what God's doing, that life comes back into me and I can't produce that kind of water by myself. It has to come in relationship with you. And everybody has a different place in each other's lives. But I just look at the work of God, I'm like, wow. But then something came to me during that time of observation, and it was confirmed through a complete stranger who gave me confirmation to the word that God showed me. Some people come into the truth. So I'm just going to speak on a couple layers here. Some people come into the truth, come into relationship with God, and they're satisfied with just that. They don't really have a desire to be used for much more. They want to come and they want to sit in a service. And they want to hear the truth and then they want to leave. And that's the extent of their faith. They will not grow past that. That's where they're at. Some people will do that for years. And let me say something very clear. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with wherever measure of faith God has given somebody. I'm completely okay if a person is saved and they're in that place for years. Do I want more for them? Absolutely. Do I want them to experience what it's like to be a part of God's work in other people's lives? Absolutely. But not everybody will. Some people are only meant to be a thief on the cross. Some people are only meant to come for a duration of time until God has an appointed time for them for a specific task. Amen. So I'm okay with that. I'd rather them come and do that than go wild out. But then others are going to come and they're going to be gifted. They want to be used by God. They always have ideas but they feel like they have nowhere to take it. And in that time, I look and I see a person who desires to be used by God, but they're not positioned by God to do what they're desiring. And if the church, if God doesn't bring us to a place to then begin to plug people in who are gifted into outlets where they can actually be used for God, right? They start looking to go do it on their own. Now, I'm just going to paint a picture for you. Those of you that have been walking with Michelle and I, you see God in our lives? Do you see God moving in a mighty way? Where he moves through the prayer and he moves through the preaching and he moves through the teaching and moves through the sacrifice, right? Took over 20 years to get there. Sometimes, and this is maybe a bad analogy, but it's the only analogy I have. Sometimes we look at an overnight success, but we can't see how long it took to get to that overnight success. So we have to learn to wait for God to position us so the desire he gave us can be used. We can't try to position ourselves. And if anybody were to leave under that unction because they're just not being used, they're ready for a great fall, because you'll leave the next place when they don't use you right either. So I want to encourage the church that as I see you, you know, one of the callings in my life is to acknowledge the calling in your life, to look at you and to see what is it that God's actually doing, and then to come and say, I believe that God has called you to do this, 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 and this, and it will bear witness with what you've already heard God say, or it will start to plant a seed that you didn't see before, and God will water that seed and you'll be thankful for the word. But part of my calling is to admonish, to acknowledge, to lay on of hands, to anoint you, to commission you, and to send you. Some are not going to go all over the world. Many won't, but some will. And those of you who are called to pastor, to teach, and to do all these things, you have to sit and wait for God to position you. Trust me when I say this, you'll go a long way around the mountain, nowhere, just to get right where God would have you anyway. And you don't want to be 60 years old looking back going, Lord, please, you want to just wait on him. Amen. Amen. So as I'm looking at the church, I literally said, man, there are people who will get frustrated because they're not being used to the expectations they want. I'm acknowledging it right now, guys. I'm your brother. I'm acknowledging it to every single one of you. Those of you that have an A personality and you want to just build a house because you got an itch to build a house, put the hammer down. Don't go outside of God's will to do that. There is power and there's anointing that comes through the order of God if you will just wait upon the Lord. And this is coming from a lot of years of experience of falling on my own face. Amen? Am I allowed the freedom to share that with you? And there are people that are not here today, whether that be by sickness, whether it be because they just got married, Aaron and Liz, if you're online, we love you. There are people who are here in their body, but their heart's far from this. My prayer is that you would be awakened, awoke, that you would be sound and enlightened, that you would be in tune and in touch, that you'd be in harmony with what God is actually doing here. That's my prayer, because what God is doing here, he's doing, guys, all over the place. The other thing I want to share before I get into this is I want to encourage you to be faithful. I want to encourage you to be diligent in your prayer. I want you to encourage you to be diligent in your walks with God and walking in the Spirit in your giving. I want to encourage you to be diligent in every aspect of your life. I said to myself, I go, it's kind of funny that people will call me and ask me to pray when their body's sick, but they won't call and ask me to pray when their pocket's sick. Like, why is it that we set limits on our relationships with each other? If truly Michelle and I, man, I feel the anointing of God even as I'm talking right now. He's literally breaking this off of some people. If truly Michelle and I are called to pastor you, if we're called to be in fellowship with you, why withhold anything? Isn't it actually a hindrance in the relationship if you can't talk about certain things of your life? Or has God called us just to be a specific area in your life, just to, at your at your decision and at your comfortability and at your pace and at your, no. No, guys. No, guys. We're not even allowed to move at our own pace. All right, I gotta keep it real because I don't know. It's like hitting a wall. Like, it's like some of us are like, no, I don't get it. Watch, let me tell you what I mean. Because I'm a pastor of Pathway Family Church. You guys all know who you are. I get 3, 4, 5 phone calls a day, text messages a day from everybody. And you're not thinking about the other person who's texting me. And I'm not saying this to have a pity party. And I'm not saying this as if I don't love it. I absolutely love it. But it is a lot. And when you call and you reach out to me, and you're not thinking about so-and-so over here who's reaching out. And God has equipped us to be able to manage those relationships and not be tired. Now, let's just keep it real. You guys all know the conversations that are happening. It's love coming your way, and peace coming your way, and patience coming your way. God is moving in this church. You know what my hope is? That you would learn it, that you would adopt it, that you would pick it up, that you would grow in this way, that you wouldn't isolate and be lied to, but you would actually step into what God is doing and be used by God. You would be equipped in order to have patience with other people. I got 1,000 phone calls this last week. It was crazy. And I had to shift by the grace of God from one to the next. And God gave me the ability to carry it out. But why in all of those calls don't people talk about the things that are really important, like your money? This is crazy. Like, people have a problem with money. I even posted it on the band. I said, I'm talking about spiritual awareness, but I am not going to talk about the love of money. I'll put it here, and I put it in the band. But the love of money is a big problem. Big problem. It's why the Bible talks about it, and it's why God has people talk about it. And I'm telling you right now, we love hard truth until the truth is hard. We love hard truth until the truth is hard. We make ourselves available in every single way to you. This ain't Dave Ramsey. This isn't trying to figure out how to steward well. No, this is about the call of God, and you're not to love money. You will learn to steward it well with God. And we could teach you a couple things. But what good is it to make you really good at hiding? Come on, somebody, help me right now. What good is it for me to make it really good for you to hide the fact that you love your security? We're not to love that. We're to love God. So if I can't feel free, and this is where I felt the demonic peace, where I was like, okay, I got a war against this demonic thing that's trying to stop me from talking about this, because I should be able, in the anointing of God, to talk about it all. And if I'm in prayer going, God, why is this hard to talk about? It's because there's a principality that I'm coming against that's trying to burden God's people. It's why the scriptures say what they say. And God is saying to us right now, church, he wants us spiritually aware. So it has to be in every area of our life. I think some of us have come to the point where we go, okay, I get it. I can't worship my husband or wife. Some of us have come to the point, I get it. I can't worship my kids. Now we're all coming to the point, you can't worship your money. These are three big ones. These are three big ones. Oh, God, he ain't even gonna. I'm just gonna shut this real quick. I'm just gonna wait. Watch this. There's a teaching out there that says, if you give generously, God will give generously. We know that's the truth, right? God is a generous God. But true generosity is not greed. And there's a difference between giving and being generous. There's a difference. So there's a lot of people who can give, but they're not generous in their giving. No, I'm not just talking about money, guys. I'm talking about a heart posture. If I, watch what I'm about to say, could sow something and get 100-fold in return, you know what I would sow? Righteousness for my kids. I would say, here's my kids, so they can become more like you. If I could simply just sow my kids so they would be godly kids, why, I would not sow money, I would sow my kids. Are you listening? If there was a way to get an increase of God by simply doing something good, I would not worry about money. I'd be like, give me righteousness. Give me peace. Let me sow peace so I can get peace. Am I making sense right now? Let me sow something that I can actually get something in return. But it doesn't work that way with money. God has left it this way. You give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and you give to God what is God's. What is God's is spiritual. It's not the physical. I'm sorry, church, but you don't pay taxes to God. You pay taxes to Caesar. That's why it's evil to say you pay a tax to the church. You know there's churches that do that? They check your taxes to make sure you're giving 10%. Yes. Don't sound shocked. We're talking about religion here. People do it. But if I'm going to sow to reap, the scripture says, if you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh destruction. So anybody who takes out a dollar bill and sows it with the intention to get 10 back is corruption. It's corruption. Let me tell you how it should be. God, I'm putting the one. If you give me 10, I'm putting 10. If you give me 100, I'm putting 100. Not in the offering box. Guys, listen to the word of the Lord. In the spirit. In the spirit. I'm showing all that I have because I get all that I have from the one who's given me all I have to give. The woman with two mites gave all she had. The scriptures never say she was given abundance of land and she was given $1 million in return. Nope. She was given two mites. Oh, let me just twist up the theology real quick because the anointing of the Lord is here. Who gave her the two? Did she get two because she sowed one? And where'd she get the one? Because she sowed a half of one. And where'd she get the half? Because she stole the half of that. And what about that? The half of that. Where does it end? And where does it begin? This is not about physical things. This is about the love for it. And if any of us in here right now has an issue with loving money, you should repent before God and have him help you. Because the money can't save you. It won't do anything for you, guys. It will not pay the bills of this church. Let me tell you how God works. God will pay the bills of this church. I'm not kidding. He'll put it on the hearts of the owners next door to say, you know what? Free 6 months on us. You don't think God can do that? Yeah, let me just show you that I'm actually with you and I don't really need you. Because then maybe you'll actually start being a part of what I'm doing so you can experience the spiritual blessings that come with it. You want to know why you can't move in discernment, why you can't move in these things? Because your love is somewhere else. You cannot love both God and money. You cannot love both God and money. Nah, brother, you could steward both. Evil. You can't steward anything. And the worst thing is if you steward it well in your own eyes and you'll walk into church, got my act together, so grateful that I learned how to tithe. Brothers and sisters, that is not the heart posture God has for his people. The Lord is having me stop to talk about it. I'm not even talking about what I wrote in the band. I'm talking about the love. This is why it's so difficult, because we do love money. And why do we love money? Because we love the world. We love the comfort it brings. We love the fact that we could pay our rent with it. We love the fact that we could put gas in our car with it. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm a full tank type of guy. I don't like filling up to a quarter of a tank and doing that 1,000 times. I fill up for a full tank and I click it a couple more times, even though I tell you don't do that. Because I want to get the most out of it before I have to fill it up again, right? I'm that person. I don't want a half a tank of gas, though I'm thankful for it. I want a full tank of gas. Why? Because I like the comfort it gives me. I like the peace that it gives me to know I got 3 days. Are we listening? I'm driven by a motive that causes me to act that way. We need God to give us spiritual motivation. We have to let go of our physical comforts to experience spiritual motivation. We have to be willing to be inconvenienced. You know when the scriptures talk about if you have two coats, you share one? If you got two, you give one away? When's the last time you gave a half a tank of gas away? See, that's what I'm saying. I'm not telling you to do it to be righteous. I'm putting a light on this to show you we are not really doing this the way that we should. There are times that we actually are coming up really, really short in generosity. Are we generous or are we just giving? You know what generosity, you know the best generosity you could do is actually spend time with God so when you actually come into fellowship, you can actually deposit something to somebody. That's generosity. Actually sacrificing your time to actually get something from God, to actually give that away. That's generosity. When we learn to do that, which isn't that where the devil fights you the most anyways? The devil never really comes and fights you with your money until you have to give it. It's way back here in your mind. You're like, oh, we need it to survive. No, you need God to survive. That's the truth. But he won't talk about that. But you know what he will do? You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to pray. No, God understands. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. You don't need to do that. Why? Because then you'll never have anything to deposit. You'll never have anything to give away. Then you're stuck giving only your money. Did you hear what I just said? When you don't have spiritual life, rivers of living water flowing through you to deposit to other people, all you try to do is overcompensate by saying, hey, let me buy that for you. It does not substitute the spiritual necessity we have, the dependency in the spirit. It does not substitute. But when you're spiritually alive, when you're spiritually full of life, you have no problem sharing your stuff. Amen? Those of you who've been walking with Michelle and I, don't you know we don't have a home? Do you guys know that we don't have a home? It's shared with the family of believers. We don't have a place for ourselves, and I don't want it. If I have something just for me, like with not sharing with anybody, I'm a miserable person. I'm lonely. I'm isolated. And all I do is complain about how lonely and isolated I am. But when I got life flowing through the house and people are talking and stuff is going on and I hear Christ in my brothers and sisters, it is something that you can't get by being stingy. Hello? Amen. Holy Spirit of God, come. Hello? May we wake up to the reality that it's happening. Amen? The Lord's not releasing me yet. I have to keep going. The best thing that you guys can learn to do in your life is to be givers. If you are a giver, you will never lack for stuff to give. You'll never lack and give. If you are a generous person in your heart, God will always make sure you have enough to give away. I'm not lying to you. Even if what you have to give away is only a jacket. No, let me say it a different way. Even if what you have to give away is a word of encouragement. Even if all you have to offer is a prayer. It is worth more than gold because it's done in God. It's done in God. You know, there's some people in this room right now that all you do is take advantage because you were raised to take advantage. God wants to break the spirit of poverty in Jesus' name because it's not about money. It's about the mindset that binds people up to live that way. All you do is leech off of the body of believers. God wants to make you somebody who is a conduit, who can be generous and give through the spiritual aspects of this body. He doesn't want you to be a complainer. He doesn't want you to be somebody who's rebellious in your heart and you say amen to the person's face, but you turn around and do the opposite. God doesn't want a double-minded church. He doesn't want us to be split between ourselves and him. He wants us to be devoted. Man, the Spirit of the living God is here. He just, you know, it's like, how many times does he have to show up and love on us? And how many times does he have to give us a word of correction? How many times does he have to step in before we say, Father, will you step in? Look, I know you're probably going to step in at some point, so I'm here now, like I'm ready. You can step in on me at any time. Wake me up at night. Pull me over when I'm on my way to my job. When I'm taking a shower, interrupt the shower, make the hot water turn cold. Whatever you got to do to get my attention, because I am not as loyal as I think. I need you to disrupt my life. But Lord, will you not disrupt my life so much that I get discouraged? Would you not disrupt my life so much that I want to run away? Will you be kind to me, Lord? Will you have mercy on me? Be gracious to me, Lord, but I'm admitting that I'm stubborn and I'm admitting that I'm rebellious. I'm admitting that I need you. Come on, church. Help me right now. Because there are people, oh man, there are people tuning in online, there are people here who we've had a higher view of ourselves. And so even when I talk like this, you like you want to shun away from it, you should lean into it. This is what you need. You need the truth. You need to be motivated in the truth. You cannot love both God and the world. You cannot serve God and your flesh. You cannot chase God and the devil. It was getting hot. I was like, thank you for the AC, Lord. My goodness. Okay. We good? Can I start the sermon now? It makes sense to Genesis 3 now that I'm recalibrating here because I'm being stirred by so much. There's definitely a prophetic anointing this morning. But in Genesis 3, 1 through 7, let's read this. And Father, as I read, as I preach, I pray you just take me through this word to the points of what you want me to share. And may you just ready our hearts to continue to be watered and receive. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I cannot be timid, church. If God wants me to speak on something, I have to have the freedom in the spirit to speak on it. Amen. Are you listening? If he wants me to speak on homosexuality, I will speak on it. I will not back off, and I will not be harsh to the point of throwing people away, but I will stand for the reality that God is calling for a holy people, and I will speak against it. I will speak against anything that is against God. I cannot be timid. I can't worry about if it's socially acceptable. I can't worry if you stand with me. I can't. God is looking for people to serve him. And what's worse than the topic of homosexuality is the topic of money, because it touches everybody. Amen. Help us, Lord, because there's an enemy. In Galatians 3, today we're going to be talking today we're going to be talking about keeping watch. Keeping watch. What it means to keep watch. How do we do that? And not in the sense that I'm going to give you the steps to, but just Lord, help us, right? This whole thing is, this whole walk with God, this whole spiritual awareness is to see what's happening, not to be told how to do something. God will teach us all how to do it. And it will be in harmony with each other because we have the same spirit that teaches us the same thing. There's nothing more beautiful than to know God taught you something and then you see it in somebody else. You're like, that's exactly what he taught me. But in this, in keeping watch, there's a real thing going on here, even as I'm expressing about this money and God thing, this elephant in the room. It's almost as if, like, that's been in the closet for a while. And now we're talking about it, and we're going, oh, it's been there the whole time. Yes, because we are fallen people, and there's a real devil. And we must keep watch. Watch this. In Genesis 3:1, it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals. Now, who made the serpent? Who made the serpent? So the serpent is shrewd because God made the serpent shrewd. No, let me read the full sentence because it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. God made the serpent shrewd, deceptive, and evil. One day, he asked the woman, the serpent did. You ever see a talking snake? Serpent rolls up to Eve. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden? Is God really saying that you shouldn't love money? That sounds like, that's an enticing question, right? Just being asked that gives me some hope that maybe he didn't say that. Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Are you looking at the bait of Satan here? He knows what tree God was talking about, but he broadens the question. He wants you to start thinking. He wants you to start just to start having a conversation. You know what you should do when Satan comes and talks to you? Shut up. Shut up. I am not listening to you. I am not entertaining the conversation. Father, what do you have to say? Father, what do you have to say? Silence in the name of Jesus. Father, what do you have to say? And you should stay there until the Father speaks to you. You should not turn and listen to the devil and start talking to the devil. Oh yeah, God said don't eat of the tree. Do not engage. That was the problem here. She engaged in the conversation. Watch this. And she told the truth, but he is a deceiver. Of course we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. God said, I cannot serve both. Exclamation point. There's no adding to it. I can't serve and love both. Satan goes, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. Verse 4, you won't die. Where people miss it is they don't realize that the spiritual death is in the conversation first before it ever births manifests in the physical. The spiritual death happens in conversation. That's where you yoke up. That's where you gain agreement. That's where things take place. It's in a conversation. You won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. God knows that if you just had more money, you could do more for the kingdom. I don't want anybody's money that comes with that as a lie. I don't want any relationship with people who think they can do more for the kingdom because they have more resources. That is a lie. The kingdom of God is not one that expands based on resources. How do you think prostitutes come to the Lord? Because they've been given new clothes? Or because they've been given a new heart? Somebody would argue and say, yeah, but brother, somebody's got to go, and somebody's got to this, and someone, do they really? Does Almighty God truly need people to do it? Does Almighty God truly need to go through man to do it? Can he just send his spirit? And can he just meet somebody where they are? See, then when we see that God doesn't need resources, we come with him. We say, then take them all, Lord, because you don't really need it. Here we go. What do you want with my life? I get to be a part of what you're doing? And he'll go, no, I don't want you to do that. Put that down. No problem, Lord. Oh, man, the Lord is speaking right now. This is why some of us have fallen away from the faith, because you weren't used to sing a worship song. You said your life was laid down for the Lord, but the Lord didn't ask you for the worship song. Yet you offered the worship song, and he rejected the worship song. And because your heart was evil, you didn't accept his rejection. Oh, hallelujah, God! You didn't accept his rejection! I need to be able to accept God's rejection, because his rejection's done in love, because God is love. I will not listen to the enemy who comes and tries to say elsewise. He doesn't need my worship. So if you come with your gifts and with your talents and even with your money, and God goes, keep your money because your heart loves it, I don't want it. Because your heart loves what I can do for you, I'm not doing anything for you. I'm going to do it all for me. And until you can learn to love that I do everything for me, you will never know what it's like to be one with me. Listen to me, church. You cannot be God. The entire deception of Satan to Eve was that she would be like God. So inside the fallen nature of every person is a desire to be like God without God. So what am I really keeping watch for? What is it that's actually going on inside of me? Am I really being lulled to sleep by seeking after my own possessions? Am I really being lulled to sleep by seeking after my own pleasure? Or am I awake, seeking after God, seeking after Yahweh? I wrote this down because after reading this, I was like, wow, God, like the enemy is truly deceptive. And people are stupid. We are truly foolish. We are stupid people. We are dumb. We are not wise that we would even entertain a combo. You going to tell me Eve couldn't have said, hold up, serpent, Father? Dad. The relationship was there freely. But God made people ignorant of that. And because of that, we fell into sin. Because he didn't give us the ability to stand on our own. This whole display of humanity is to show the world, you cannot live without me. You cannot exist without me. I am the Lord. I give and I take away. I give and I take away. I wrote this down because I felt it so strongly. I said, and this was the Lord, to watch the devil's corruption without God's instruction is destruction. To sit and observe the devil, to observe the world, to observe the enemy, and not have God there talking and leading and guiding, you're already sucked into destruction. And you don't even know it. So we must keep watch. Why? Because God has given us his spirit that is watching. I'm going to have to continue this sermon next week. I'm not going to finish it today. Absolutely not. I'm stacking everything. We'll just put this up here. How about, I'm just getting rid of everything. I'm just saying. That's all I'm doing. Let me just talk to this section right here. Let me just talk to you. Why do you question God? Why do you question God? You might be looking at me as a vessel right now, and you're going to be thrown off because your eyes are caught on the wrong thing. When I'm moving in the anointing like this, you have to look past me. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. You have tried to make religion your own thing. You set up your shrine. You set up your altar. You set up what you have. And then you ask God to accept it, and he rejects it. You tell him you're struggling. You tell him you're suffering. You tell him there's problems as if he doesn't know. This is why you're frustrated with God. This is the word for people in this section. This is why you're frustrated with God, because you come to him with your frustrations as if he doesn't know them. As if he doesn't know. As if he is the one being informed of something. And you have believed the devil's lie that somehow God's not taking account? Do you not know he's holy? Do you not know he's good? Does not the scriptures teach you that all things are accountable by him? So you want to come with your neighbor. You want to come with your friend. You want to come with your child. You want to come with your problem. And you want to talk about your neighbor, your friend, your child, and your problem. And God's saying, I reject your request because I want to talk about you. I want to deal with you. You're coming to me with sticks and stones. I want to come and talk about the word that divides bone and marrow. You. I'm going to come here now. Many of us in this section have had a prayer life that's been strong. I don't know why God sat you where he sat you. Some of the people here are going, I should be in that section. That's the problem. Because that's in your heart, you still haven't received the word I just gave you. In this section, you've operated in prayer. Some of you don't even know it. Your prayers are so sincere and so pure, you're not even praying the quote-unquote right thing, yet God has lent his ear to you. He's lent his ear to you. But you fall under the same convictions that I just preached over here. Because in your prayer, when you pray, you're praying as if God don't know. Listen, church, the Spirit of the Lord is saying very clearly, I love you. And because I love you, I'm reminding you of who I am. I'm stopping the plan. I'm stopping what was planned because I'm guiding the steps right now. And I'm meeting you where you are. And I'm reminding you, church, of who I am. I am not a God who doesn't know. I am not a God who doesn't know. I have taken in account everything. I know you. I hear the Lord strong, so don't you dare come as if I don't. Don't come as if you're informing me. Come knowing that I already have the information. Then maybe your prayers will change, right? And they will change. Maybe you'll come timid before the Lord, but not afraid of him. Maybe you'll come with reverence saying, God, I have spoken too much. Amen? Amen. Caleb? It is time to put off every single thing that has had you in your life. I pray that every demonic spirit that has been tormenting your mind be broken off of you now. I pray for the Spirit of God to truly get a hold of you and that you stop playing the fence. Because God wants you to be used for his kingdom. You are not illegitimate. And you are not lost in your mind. Even when other people have tried to put that on you and try to say that you're handicapped in some way, the Lord says, I made you this way, and what I make is not handicapped. I pray against the insecurities of the flesh that try to stand up in your own strength, but yet you fall every single time. I pray for the Spirit of the living God to love on you and give you a security that you cannot give yourself. I pray for a miracle to happen in your life. May the Spirit of God move in this place. Turn off the cameras. May the Spirit of God move in this place. May the anointing of God.